If you were concerned as to whether or not you would be recognized, you have been recognized, but you're certainly welcome to stay. I don't have to be anywhere until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, all right, sir, you have the floor.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Harry Krieger, and my wife, Ermi, and I moved to the reservation in 1996, 16 and a half years ago. We are within 200 feet of the proposed site, and we strongly oppose CZ-1719, CZ-1720, and CU-1944. Retiring from an assignment in Germany, we came here with the idea to rent for a while before deciding whether or not to stay here for the rest of our lives. This would be our retirement point. Shortly after arriving here, I became a licensed real estate salesperson, and during this time, we came to appreciate the area of the reservation, and I was continually searching real estate databases to find other residential areas for comparison. We always came back to the reservation. We have lived here ever since. The main reason we selected this area was because it was overwhelmingly residential and off the beaten path. We could easily access Central Avenue to connect with Route 26 to go westward, and with Fred Hudson Road to access Highway 1 to continue on northward or southward. And the basic necessities were readily available on Cedar Neck Road. Grocery store, gas station, hardware store, liquor store, and the old Magnolia's restaurant. Each of these establishments directly supported this unincorporated community. Since those early years, Sussex County has taken ownership of a 150-acre parcel of land when a very forward-thinking lady bequeathed it to the county. Since then, the Delaware Center for Inland Bays took guardianship of this property and became James Farm Ecological Preserve. Let me catch up with myself here. Okay, they restored this area to its natural habitat, and recently, Denrick reconfigured the ditches just south of Beach Cove Road and in the wetlands to enhance tidal flow, and wildlife has returned in abundance. James Farm is about 1,100 feet from this proposed site, and the entrance to Fresh Pond is about 1,600 feet away from the proposed site. Ermi and I are not unique. In talking with residents on this peninsula over the years, and particularly during the past 2 weeks or so, the vast majority of people I've spoken with came here from similar circumstances and for the same reasons. The quietness, the solitude, and the natural beauty surrounding us, and the fact that it continues to be overwhelmingly residential. I will leave detailing of issues to the many others who are also here this evening, many of whom also wish to make their presentation. I've also addressed these issues in my letter, which was sent to Planning and Zoning. Please take the opportunity to read it. I assume our letter is made a matter of record on this issue, along with the count I had was 275, but I'll go along with you, gentlemen. Other letters, 275 other letters which have been submitted to Planning and Zoning.
Excuse me. They're all here. Yeah.
And that is formally part of the record.
That is, yeah, okay. And they're all part of the record. So they're in the record.
Thank you. Sunday morning, it was a spur of the moment deal. Was completely unscripted, and I didn't know where the starting point would be till we got there. But my son and I created a video as an orientation tour of the Cedar Neck Road Peninsula. This video highlights the natural boundaries of this peninsula and depicts the roadways and communities along Cedar Neck Road, Fred Hudson Road, and the northern leg of Central Avenue. These three copies of this video were hand-carried to Mr. Lank at Planning and Zoning. If you have not seen it, and I do thank Mary Schrader Fox for bringing it up, I didn't know that she would. Three copies of this video were hand-carried to Mr. Lank at Planning and Zoning. And if you haven't seen it, I urge you greatly to take about 21 minutes to look at it during your deliberations. I think it well represents this this beautiful area of Cedar Neck Road Peninsula. I mean, it's just something else. Once you see something like that, I've lived there for 16 and a half years, and it wasn't until I started researching this issue that I said, wait a minute, I need a map. I went and took the Chamber of Commerce map, looked at it, and said, it's all right there. And based on that, I did this video. I think it'd be well worth your while. And I assume, having given it to Mr. Lank, that those three copies will also be.
It is in the record, and we have the, as does anyone, have the right and the latitude to go back and review anything that's in the record prior to making a decision. So the fact that we may not have seen it by tonight does not mean that we will not see it.
No, I understand it. There hasn't been too much time.
That's fine.
I would offer that if you'd be a little more comfortable having some more copies, I can crank them up and get them up here to you tomorrow.
What we can do...
I'm serious. I'm not...
What we'll do is, because this has happened before with videos, and you know, depending on what happens with the record tonight, we can take one of those copies, make sure that there's one in the file for the public to view,
Right. Okay.
and we can have the IT department make copies, and then what we'll do is distribute them to everybody
on
the commission.
We'll all have them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate the offer, but we've got to follow certain protocol.
And we'll look at it.
And I appreciate your humor about this. And if I just may add a bit of humor to it.
Go ahead.
When my courier brought those up to Mr. Lank, with three bags of popcorn accompanied them, and I'm sure that might be why it intimidated whether or not they were going to be made.
Those.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to consult our legal counsel, because that could constitute... that could be a problem now.
I don't know what happened to the popcorn.
I'll tell you, you did give them the popcorn back, right?
I didn't see the popcorn.
Didn't see the popcorn. All right, well,
this concludes my presentation.
Okay, sir.
I need to say that I'm truly grateful for this opportunity to be in this venue and to share our thoughts with you. And I would invite any questions if you'd have them.
Now, Mr. Krieger, and
yes,
for the benefit of the public, I'd just like to assure everyone that everyone sitting up here has gone and visited this site. That's a part of our duty. We all go visit that site at least once, if not several times, and just also for the benefit of the public. And one of the things that Mr. Fuqua said is, considering these as land use issues, we have to consider the merits of whether this site, this particular site here, as it's situated, is appropriate for these changes of zone and a petition or application for a conditional use. And that is what we are going to be charged with, is a land use issue. But you know, I want to let you know, the video or notwithstanding, everyone is familiar with the site. That's something that we take on. And thank you for that.
That's all good.
Pardon me?
I said that's fine. It's all good.
Thank you all very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who's next? Let's take one from this side all the way in the back. That would be you looking the other way. Here you go. Yep. Quick draw here. This was the guy that had his hand shot in the air. Okay.
My name is Steve Callinan, and I live in Quillen's Point, 38986 Bayfront Drive, to be specific. And I bought my house there in 1995 and have lived there as a permanent resident for the last 15 years, since 1997. And needless to say, I have driven up and down Cedar Neck Road thousands of times. And I just wanted to, for the record, based on my own personal experience, mentioned to you that one of our community members, a Dr. Bruce Fellows, who was a cardiac surgeon, had an accident. He was riding his bicycle, and he had an accident with an RV vehicle. And his neck was broken. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And a couple of years after that, he died from complications from that injury. And this is largely the result of Cedar Neck Road being so extremely narrow and not having appropriate shoulders, width shoulders for pedestrians or bicyclists. And until that takes place all the way down to Fred Hudson Road and maybe beyond, it seems to me anyway that it's absolutely ludicrous to think of doing anything that would increase the traffic and the danger to people in the summertime. Now, when I'm driving down that road in the summertime, I frequently come up against bicyclists or people walking, and oftentimes it's a family, three or four people. I have to basically almost stop my car and wait until the car is coming the other way, pass by, so that I can cross over the line in the middle of the road to go by these people in a safe, slow fashion. It's very dangerous. The other factor is that these various commercial establishments that are along the road that have been mentioned, including vegetable stands, people that sell produce and whatever, traffic needs to turn in and out of those places. And it's very, very difficult to turn in safely and to get back out onto this very narrow road. I just to touch on a couple of other things. One is, I don't frankly understand who and why they ever zoned this partial commercial in the first place, and I submit that it should be rescinded, that commercial designation to the area, especially in an environmentally sensitive area. I support all of the comments that have been made thus far tonight and agree with them. And I want to mention, as far as noise goes, if you want to go up to Jungle Jim's up by Rehoboth, you can get a good idea of noise levels. And the wave-making equipment is quite noisy, and I have gone up there very often with my grandkids, and I'm familiar with the facility. There's also a smaller water park that's down near Fenwick Island, so it's not like the area doesn't have water park attractions that people can't take advantage of if they want to. I submit that a much better location, there's a great big nice area that's right across the street from the Hawker's store complex at the intersection of Route 17 and 26. And that would be a much better location on big roads for easier access. And emergency evacuation is a critical important with the elderly population, and I submit, and I haven't heard it tonight, to get an estimate from the local fire department as to how long it takes their fire trucks and their emergency vehicles to get out onto Cedar Neck Road in the middle of the summer when it's the highest tourist season. And that data is extremely important. And also, as been mentioned, in case of emergency exit. Anyway, those are the primary things that I wanted to mention, and I thank you very much for the time.
Yes, sir, and we thank you for your comments over here, standing up. Yes, sir, come on this way.
My name is John Voigt. I live in Quillen's Point, and there's just one comment that I want to make. I think a survey should be taken about the roadways. And here's a good example. I go to church on Sunday. Between the middle of June to the middle of September, a 3-mile drive takes me one way 45 minutes. Coming back, it takes me as much as 55 minutes, because I only have Route 26, Fred Hudson, Central Ave, and they all go down to one road. Normally, off season, I get to church in 8 minutes. So what I'm trying to say is, before you allow something like this to blow up, survey the roads. Can we handle the traffic? Because if it takes me to go 3.5 miles in the summer, 55 minutes, it's taking me 3 hours to go to church on a Sunday. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Okay, let's take one from this side, this lady right here in the white.
I don't know, it got my heart beating.
Did he steal the pen too? No, okay.
Home with the popcorn.
Takes a few seconds, but it's really going to help.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, all good.
My name is Virginia Johnston, and I live on Cedar Neck Road across from the subject property. I live in a peaceful, quiet residential area. Castaways Bethany's wants to build a campground and amusement park with a water slide and a swimming facility right smack in the middle of it. I oppose CU 1944, CZ 1719, and CZ 1920. I'd like to address how noise will impact the area and the vicinity of the proposed development. It's called noise pollution. The traditional definition of noise is unwanted or disturbing sound. Sound becomes unwanted when it either interferes with normal activities such as sleeping, conversation, or disrupts or diminishes one's quality of life. Secondhand noise is more troubling because it has negative impacts on us, but is put into the environment by others without our consent. Let me quote the state of Delaware's regulations governing the control of noise. Pursuant to the provisions of Part 7, Title 7, Chapter 71 of the Delaware Code, these regulations are to prevent, prohibit, and provide for the abatement of excess and unnecessary noise and or vibration which may endanger the health, safety, and welfare, jeopardize the value of property, and erode the integrity of the environment of the people of this state. As stated within the regulations, paragraph 3, noise means any sound which annoys or disturbs humans or which causes or tends to cause an adverse physiological or psychological effect on humans. Noise pollution affects both health and behavior. It can cause annoyance and aggression. Studies have shown that there are direct links between noise and health problems, including stress-related illness. I'm getting dry mouth, excuse me. Stress-related illnesses, high blood pressure, speech interference, hearing loss, sleep disturbances, and lost productivity.
If you don't mind my lips, you're welcome to have
them. I'm going to lose the ability to talk. I would take your water.
Take it with you, my dear.
Thank you. Okay, where was I?
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Going just this, fine.
Yeah, you're doing great. Come on. Okay. The rest of it.
This proposed development will have constant noise from RVs, cars, trucks, pickup trucks, buses, motorcycles, lawn equipment, music, amplifiers, air conditioners, generators, animals, children screaming, and so on. There will be nonstop noise pollution all day long and into the late evening hours. This excessive noise will also harm and chase away the wildlife from the woods and the wetland areas. The Census Bureau reports that noise is a major reason why people move. Who wants to buy a home in the vicinity of an RV and a waterslide park development? This development will jeopardize the value of our homes, our life savings. No buffer around the proposed development is going to protect my health, my safety, and my welfare. The noise will annoy me. It will disturb me. The state noise regulations state it will protect me against these things. This project will cause my property value to plummet. And again, the Delaware noise regulations strictly state it will prevent and prohibit excess noise that will jeopardize the value of my property. I object to the I object to the development of Castaways Bethany on Cedar Neck Road, not only for the noise pollution it will cause, but also for, number one, the increase in traffic that the existing roads can handle, Sandy Cove, Cedar Neck Road, Fred Hudson Road, and Central Avenue. Two, probable increase in crime due to no security or local police. Three, other unnecessary nuisances such as lights and smells. And four, harm and or pollution to our environment, our wetlands, and our wildlife. I oppose proposals CU 1944, CZ 1719, and CC 1720. This development will violate my rights under the noise regulations of the state of Delaware. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
And the water.
Ma'am, if those are your notes, if you don't mind, if you could give those to Mr. Lank, just so I know he was feverishly trying to write down everything you said. Is that something that you wouldn't mind?
I'd like to have those put in the record, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I do. I'll take them.
That Mr. Lank right there.
My fingers, too.
Okay, let's take one from this side. Yes, sir. Are you, sir, in a white shirt? Okay, now look, you got to bring your own water.
Yeah.
We're out.
I didn't bring that.
Okay. And by the way, if you're going to talk about noise, don't. We've heard all we need to hear about noise, okay?
My name is Steve Evans.
Got it. We got the noise thing.
My name is Steve Evans. I have a home at 30203 Territory Trail. I actually submitted a letter to Mr. Lank. I've brought some copies if you all haven't had a chance to see it, or it might be helpful to refer to a couple of the photographs that are in the back, if you'd like me to.
I want to submit them.
Submit that?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a problem with a copy. I'll take them.
Okay. So I'm going to go through the letter succinctly and as quickly as possible, which will only take a couple minutes. My home is located within 200 feet of the reference zoning and conditional use applications being considered tonight and would be directly and adversely impacted by the proposed RV and water slide park development. After visiting the Castaways RV park in Ocean City and considering substantially the same use here, I'm opposed to the zoning and conditional use applications because the proposed use is incompatible with the existing development and zoning in the surrounding area and will be detrimental to property values in the community rather than an enhancement. I offer the following specific reasons this use is not appropriate for recommendation for approval. The intended use is RV and trailer park with a water park is not compatible with the primarily residential character of the area. Homes in the area predominantly consist of single-family, townhouse, condominium developments that are owned, not rented. They don't drive in for short periods of time. There's no short-term transient housing, which basically is the format of the RV park.
Mr. Evans, I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind as to just read into the record your highlighted statement and then refer to the your pictures because it is getting rather late, and I think we've probably heard all this once or twice before tonight. But I want you to have your time to put it on the record. So.
Okay. Well, then if you could indulge me, I'll mention the highlights and then maybe one or two words within a paragraph that haven't been mentioned tonight.
Fair enough.
The density of the use is not compatible with the surrounding uses. Basically, if you calculate the number of occupants that is advertised on the Castaways at Ocean City, those facilities can accommodate between 6 to 8 people, which gets you to more like 1,200 to 1,700 occupants. Number three, the use will adversely impact the existing infrastructure. I think we've covered that. The proposed use would harm the environmental areas contiguous to and on the east of the property. I think we've covered that. In particular, what we haven't covered is that the nature of these vehicles, being trucks, RVs, motorcycles, boats, jet skis, inevitably there's going to be fuel, motor oil, and gasoline that inadvertently is going to get on the ground. And I think that any design really should contemplate prevention of that. I think that's just a reason this shouldn't be approved. There's no access to water which exists at the other castaways. Everyone must travel off-site to reach the boat ramps, and other attractions in Sussex County. So it doesn't seem that this is a use that is taking advantage of amenities that are at other castaways. No economic benefit to the community, including the county and the state. We've probably covered that. In terms of traffic, I think we've covered that to some extent, but I want to reiterate that really a traffic study should be done that takes into account the existing use with the proposed use, including the types of vehicles that are going to be on the roadways, not just cars. And then in terms of traffic, I'm not sure that it's good planning to offset the entrance to this to Sandy Cove Road. It doesn't make any sense why those wouldn't be aligned in a traffic signal installed at that location. Stormwater management, I touched on the oil that potentially could get in the groundwater. Mm-hmm. Lighting we've covered. Landscaping, I'd like to note that any buffer that would be installed really needs to be installed so that it is mature when it's installed, and not put a 5-foot tree in the 50-foot buffer that they're discussing that's going to take 10 years to grow. And then just in terms of touching on the photos real quick, I think we've illustrated the right-of-way and the pedestrian and bike traffic. I think a second photograph on page 4 illustrates a tractor trailer and the lack of room next to the next to the tractor trailer, and that's going to be similar in size and scope and scale to the RVs. I think on page 5 we've covered that. I think on page 6 the reality is that the nature this isn't one vehicle per RV lot, it's really multiple. So I think on page 6, you see multiple, an RV towing a motorcycle. Another photo, you have a truck towing an RV, which has a motorcycle in the back. Page 7, you have a photograph of roads, of the main road, which is analogous to Cedar Neck Road, with vehicles on either side of that road. You also have a picture of their main sign-in office, which seems to be the picture of the cottage that the applicant illustrated, and I'm not sure I'm convinced that that was the cottage versus the more aesthetically pleasing sign-in office. At the bottom of 7, you see a pickup truck towing a RV, and it can't even fit in the gas station because the gas station wasn't designed to accommodate vehicles of that length. And then the final page, you've got photographs of multiple vehicles at individual RV sites, and then you have a picture of the cottage that was really very monotonous when they're just lined up in rows the way it existed there. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Yes, sir. Over here. Plaid shirt.
My name is David Green. And I will be very brief. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just touch on an item that has been briefly mentioned, but not given an exclamation point.
Okay.
My name is David Green. I'm president of the Quillen's Point Homeowners Association. I've had some of my neighbors speak tonight. You know where we are, so I won't bore you with that detail. And we do have several concerns with this water park and RV site. I'd like to specifically address our worry about the potential impact that the castaways will have on the accessibility of our community by emergency vehicles. The majority of our year-round residents are retired individuals, some who are in poor health or advanced age. I'm a youngster down there. Our only way in and out is on Cedar Neck Road. That's the only way. In the event of a medical emergency, we have to depend on the first responders to be able to reach the victim as quickly as possible, to provide immediate emergency triage, and to provide transportation to BB or Atlantic General. Imagine a mid-July Saturday. There's a crisis in my neighborhood, and large RVs are lined up to enter and exit castaways, exacerbating an already overstressed roadway. Adding a few minutes to the turnaround could literally be the difference between life and death, literally. According to the American Heart Association, of those heart attack victims who die, 50% die within 1 hour of the first symptom. Also, according to the Heart Association, thrombolytics, otherwise known as clot-busting medications, are most effective within the first 30 minutes of the first symptom. Imposing residents along our corridor with significant additional traffic during the vacation season will likely create a scenario where EMT responders, may not be able to take action in time to provide the victim with immediate care required. Similar concerns exist with police and fire emergencies. Only last week, my next-door neighbor's home was struck by lightning, causing damage. Again, the inability of our firefighters to reach us due to traffic blockage could impose a threat to life and property. I urge you not to approve this zoning request. Thank you very much.
All right, so we thank you. Okay, over here. Yes, sir, you, yeah, aren't sure with the interesting hair.
Hi, my name is Steve Swadley, and I'm representing my mom. She lives across the street, and my sister wrote a letter, and I'm not sure if she's set, if you've gotten it. I don't have enough copies for everybody, but
that's fine.
And the pictures are of a house, and I held the one picture so I could kind of use it as a prop. But we've lived here since I was a kid. This is where I grew up. And this is the way this area used to look. And behind was all woods, and pretty much the whole surrounding area was woods. Across the street was the fields, and the road you see is the same road that it used to be. It hasn't been changed any. It used to be like a sand shoulder. And across the field is where this development, where the castaways is set to, wants to go. And being a kid and growing up here, I want you guys to look at this map. And when you think of the site, and Mom knew Mary Lightheight, and she lived down the road, and donated this land across the street. And back then, you could see all the way up through here. And the reservation's there now. But the important part to me is this land that's behind it, this woods. And in here is probably one of the prettiest areas in the state. And if you go to the site, I'd like you to go, you know, see Fresh Pond, you know, walk out in the woods and see why Mary Lightheight dedicated this piece of land right here, and what she would be thinking if she thought this land was going to be like what is for is they want it to be. And thanks.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
All the way in the back in the red sleeve there, sticking up. There we go.
Hi, good evening. I'm Elaine Manlove. I'm president of Cedar Landing Homeowners Association.
Elaine, would you sign the pad there?
Print
your name, please.
I just have a few brief comments, and almost everything's been covered, but I have petitions, and I want to be sure they're part of the record. My first comment when I heard about this was, are you kidding me? Cedar Landing is located almost directly across from the proposed park. We would be impacted by the dramatic increase in traffic, noise, lights, etc. Cedar Neck Road is only two lanes, and I'm glad to know that you're all familiar with it, because to me this is astounding. It's only one way in and one way out, so all this traffic is doubled. Right across the street are five businesses, and currently there's no dedicated in or out of any of those businesses. If you're going to the hardware store or the, you know, it's hit or miss, and we survive because we all know that. Putting something this large across the street is unconscionable. The current roadway can handle the traffic load now because of walkers and bikers, and you've already heard about the the man that was killed there a few years ago. I remember that myself. I've had a summer home in this area for over 30 years, but we've been in this development since 2004. So I've traveled Cedar Neck Road for 30 years, and truly, Cedar Neck Road hasn't changed. Everything on it has grown up around it, but Cedar Neck Road is not any bigger than it was 30 years ago. So just imagine where we are right now. And now, Fred Hudson's become the alternative to the overcrowded 26. We often sit through several traffic lights to get to Route 1 in the summer. When we built in Cedar Landing, when we used to be on the other side of 26, we often said, thank God we don't have to use 26 ever again to go to the beach. Well, on summer days, Fred Hudson is now a close second before they would add this park. I'm sure others will focus on the ecology of the area, but this park is almost entirely surrounded by ecologically sensitive land. This goes against everything that's done to protect that area. And this is really what I wanted to say. In addition to the letters you've received from Cedar Landing residents, and I'm sure it's a group, and I have emailed today Mr. Lang petition signed by 87 homeowners in Cedar Landing, as well as 32, but these are signed petitions, 32 from Sandy Cove and 87 from Cedar Landing. And that's a huge number from Cedar Landing. We only have 135 lots. Some people own more than one. You got them, but I got the original.
But they're not a very good copy.
Well, you're going to get the real thing right here.
Original's better.
All of us know that development will happen on this site. I don't think any of us are living under the illusion it's going to be an empty lot forever. Actually, neither do we want to see that empty lot forever. But this is just not the right project. The roads can't handle it, the ecology can't handle it, and the residents can't handle it. And one thing about this whole presentation that bothered me was the fact that anyone would determine the quality of a person visiting that park based on their income level. I'm truly appalled at that. That doesn't have anything to do with this project. I just had to say it. We urge you not to approve this. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you.
I counted
blue shirt right over here.
I counted 87. I miscounted, I guess.
87.
89. I counted
89. Oh, you're a better
count
than me.
We'll go with your number.
I'm not a mathematician either.
I got, you got the two on, yeah,
Sandy
I got that
Cove,
one too.
They just dropped them off for me to bring.
That's fine.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Backe. I live at Quillen's Point. I built my home there in 1991, and I reside there now as a retiree. I share the concerns of the other residents, of the other speakers here, but in the interest of time, I want to address the ecology that was just mentioned.
Okay.
I'm a retired biologist and manager with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and there are several ecological threats that I want to highlight. The Lower Indian River Bay, even when I came here 20 years ago, had an incredibly rich variety of native wildlife. But the key wildlife habitats have been gradually pinched off, and now there's much less wildlife and many fewer birds. The edge habitat on the east side of the proposed development, where the marsh and the forest meet, is particularly valuable for herons, egrets, ospreys, and even a bald eagle or two that fly over all of the Cedar Neck area. Removal of the trees from this area, plus the noise and the light from the development, are going to drive these big birds away. The field and a large parcel that now filters the runoff from Cedar Neck Road as it slants back into the salt marsh is going to be compacted, much of that vegetation removed by the RV sites. This is going to increase the runoff into the marsh of stormwater, sediment, and whatever else might wash off the RVs. Slough's Gut and the marsh on the east side of the development provide natural flood protection for the Cedar Neck area, as well as food and nursery habitat for the area's remaining fish and wildlife. This is also a tempting invitation to crabbers and kayakers who might venture in from the campground and damage the marsh if they enter from the development side. RVs are notorious carriers of invasive plants, insects, and aquatic organisms. These things either hide or get stuck on boats, campers, and hitchhike around the country, causing billions, with a B, dollars in damages at the national, state, and local levels. The James Farm Ecological Preserve, as mentioned, 1,100 feet up the road, fights a continuous battle to keep these invasive species out of that area. Adding RVs to the Cedar Neck area is counter to the work they're trying to do. I believe the Cedar Neck area is an ecological tipping point, and that this development will push the needle in the wrong direction. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay, but you got to write your name down for us first, and then you can tell us who you are.
I can't.
Did somebody take the pencil? All right, who took the pencil?
I just want to mention one thing, and that is that the area where...
Wait. Write your name first.
Okay.
Or print your name first, then tell us your name, and then tell us what you want to tell
us. Okay.
Okay?
All right.
No rush. No, we've got all... I've got...
My name is Cynthia Funbar. Okay. And I live on, where do I live? I live off Cedar Neck Road on Sandy Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention two things that have not been mentioned yet.
Okay.
And that is that, number one, we do not have, the area we live in, we are not part of Ocean View or Bethany. We do not have a police department. We must wait an hour to bring somebody out of Georgetown if there's an emergency down in the area. Now, Bethany will cover. Cedar Neck will cover. But in a chat I had today, they said, do you really think we're going to be running down there if they aren't helping to pay our revenue? So that was from a police department person. And the other, we are dependent upon Millville and Bethany Beach for our ambulance services. The area we are in is not incorporated into those. And it's a gift they give us by serving us. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that would be readily available.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, yes, sir, all the way over here.
My name is Steve Gibson, and our family has a vacation home North Beach, which is on Fred Hudson Highway. I just wanted to call out a couple of points about the nature of the vehicles that are going to be attracted by this project, that is RVs. I've submitted a letter, and I have put in the letter a comparison of typical weights of passenger cars versus typical weights of RVs and typical widths. On the weight side, an RV weighs 2 to 3 times as much as a car, which means that each unit of travel is going to cause 2 to 3 times as much wear and tear on the road. And these are narrow roads. They're not built to handle that kind of heavy traffic. With respect to the width, I'm an avid bicyclist. And when I'm at the beach, I ride my bicycle all over the place. The bicycle situation is provided for there by paths on the side of the road. Basically, the shoulders of the roads are designated as bicycle paths. That's true on Fred Hudson. It's true on Central Avenue, Cedar Neck Road, Atlantic Avenue, and so on. And as it is, it's a little bit uncomfortable because you have traffic coming by on Fred Hudson Road at about 40 miles an hour. According to the statistics I've drawn down from manufacturers' websites, RVs are approximately 2 feet wider than passenger cars, which means there's 2 feet less clearance between the vehicle and the bicycle on the side of the road. And if two of these are meeting each other, then, you know, it doesn't leave any room for the bicyclists. So I think that if this were approved, it would make bicycle traffic much more dangerous in this area. And I think having bicycle traffic and getting around by bicycles is something that we ought to be encouraging. A final point, and that is that in order to always go with the traffic when you're riding your bicycle, it's often necessary to cross the road. And crossing Fred Hudson now is very difficult because you have to wait for a break in the traffic both ways. And adding additional units of vehicle traffic, I think, is going to make it much more dangerous, which is not so much a concern to me. I'm an experienced bicyclist, but my 14-year-old daughter and her friends also are on the bicycles, and I worry about them. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who's next? Going once, going twice. Anyone else? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
For Mr. Burbage. Mr. Evans, or Steve Evans, submitted some photographs from RVs in your park at Ocean City, and he called one of them a cottage, but just in looking at it, it appears to be a park model RV. Can you tell me the difference? Are you planning on building cottages, or are you going to use the park model RVs?
No, we're absolutely doing cottages.
You're going to construct.
State building. Okay.
Yes, because this one appears to be in park model, just by the appearance.
That is a park model.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Yes, sir. You want to speak?
Just one sentence.
Well, you better come up here and give it to us, but you got to sign in and tell us your name.
I will. Don't worry.
And then, in fact, if you go to all that trouble, you to give us two or three sentences.
I'll save the best for last.
Right now.
My name is Rick Sander. I live in Cedar Landing, and I'm just going to ask you all, when you make your decision, mm-hmm. please close your eyes and pretend you're us.
We are you.
I know. That's. I know, but I just
want. We've all been there.
I know. That's. You know. I just wanted to say it. I had to get it off my chest.
Well, good enough.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I promise you we'll do that.
I appreciate it.
It won't take much effort.
Mr. Chairman, if I can ask one question.
Yeah.
The applicants, and this may have gotten answered 3 hours ago, but somebody raised the question about why the entrance wasn't lined up with Sandy Cove Road, and I'm not sure that in the presentation that ever came up, but just for the benefit of the commission and the folks left, if you could explain why it's offset. That struck me as a little bit different, too.
If you look at look at that road, it intersects Cedar Neck at a strange angle, not a 90-degree angle. In traffic design parlance, that is the worst case scenario to have a four-way intersection where one of the legs is not a 90. So that was the first thing that was thrown out.
Is that something that DelDOT?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I just wasn't sure.
They're doing. Okay. Okay. One last time. Anyone else? Any final thoughts that you want to share? Nope. One trip to a customer, ma'am.
I can't answer the question?
Nope. Afraid not. One trip to a customer. Anyone else who hasn't had a trip? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, now before we close the public hearing, I want to tell you that we really do appreciate your being here. You've been sitting here almost 4 hours. We appreciate that. All your comments have been heard. They're on the record. You have been counted, and we appreciate your participation because it's the only way we know if anybody cares. Okay? Is if you don't show up, we don't know. So now I want to ask you to do one other thing for me. Okay? Believe it or not, we actually have more business to transact this evening. So we're going to adjourn. We're going to close the public hearing, but it does not adjourn our meeting. Okay, so if you wish to stay to see if we make a decision this evening, not likely, but if you want to stay and be sure, that's fine. If you want to leave when we close the public hearing, I want to ask you to do that quietly. There's something about standing up that makes everybody want to talk, okay? And we're going to still be doing some business. So if you are going to leave, we just ask that you would do it very quietly. And again, we thank you for being here, and we'll close the public hearing.